America was founded for the most part for religious freedom. Patrick Henley famously said, "Give me liberty or give me death." But tragically, religious freedom is at risk in many places around the world. The Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. is one of the groups monitoring religious freedom, or the lack thereof, around the world. Recently, for Family Research Council, Ariel Del Turco wrote two reports on religious restrictions in two hotspots in the world. The first publication is Religious Freedom in China, the History, Current Challenges, and Proper Response to a Human Rights Crisis, 2023 edition. The synopsis says, quote, "The People's Republic of China restricts religious practice and oppresses religious minorities on a sweeping scale. This religious persecution targets those of every faith." This is Vocal Points. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and we welcome to the program Ariel Del Turco, and we'll begin with this issue of China. Then later we're going to look at North Korea. Ariel, it's great to have you back on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Sure. Okay, so the Family Research Council is, in a sense, monitoring some of the religious freedom aspects of what's going on in the world. How did you end up choosing to do this and focusing specifically on China and North Korea? And then we'll focus specifically and go into details on China.
Yeah, so Family Research Council has tracked religious freedom problems in the U.S. for a number of years. But recently, as we've seen persecution really rise around the world, we took stock of that and the need for Christian advocacy and public policy in Washington, D.C. to address this issue and to speak up for our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world. And one of the major issue areas that we found to be problematic is China and just the rise in persecution there under the current leadership in China, and some of the stealthy ways that we can get into later that I think China is really on the cutting edge of religious persecution. And that's very dangerous because that methodology can spread around the world if we're not careful, including in the West. So what happens in China has a huge impact for the millions of Chinese believers, but also for all of us around the world. So we thought this was important to address.
Okay. What has been going on? And I understand that under Xi, the dictator in China, things have gotten much, much worse beginning around 2017. I'm not really sure why, but explain to us about that.
Yeah, so under communism, since 1948, China has had severe problems with persecution for those of all faiths. And we really saw the Chinese Communist Party, which currently still leads China, really feel threatened by any allegiance that their people have to anything besides the Communist Party. And that includes religions. When someone says, Christ is my savior, not the Chinese government, the Chinese government views that, in a sense, as a threat to their own power and authority over that citizen. So they are very tight-fisted. During the Cultural Revolution, persecution reached its highest point, where there were even many martyrs, many killings of Christians and Christian leaders, mass imprisonment of religious minorities. We then saw an easing of that under Deng Xiaoping. However, in recent years, under the current Chinese president, Xi Jinping, since he's come to power, he's taken some steps to really tighten control again of his citizens. And one of the ways that he's doing this is through something called the social credit score. So it's a credit score for every single citizen, and they are judged by the government based on actions that the government either approves of or doesn't approve of so much. And when you do a certain number of actions that the government doesn't approve of or doesn't appreciate, they can actually enact consequences on you For example, you'll have trouble accessing a bank, accessing public transportation. They can really shut your life down completely. So this is a strong motivation for Chinese citizens to stay on the good side of their government. However, their government is a repressive, authoritarian, officially atheist regime that hates true, authentic Christianity. So that's causing a lot of problems for Christians there. In that way and in other ways. So we see there are just many challenges for Christians in China.
Can Christians go to church in China?
Yes. So there are actually, I always describe it as two pathways that you can take as a Christian in China. The first route you can take is you can actually go to a church approved or a government approved church. There are a certain number of churches that are government approved. However, the government really controls these denominations quite tightly, and they monitor what happens inside. They even monitor sermons. So the sermons have to be approved by Chinese government officials. So oftentimes, these officials will redact portions of the sermon that they don't like, and they'll insert, they'll say to pastors, listen, you have to affirm the power of the authority of the Chinese Communist Party in your sermon, or your church risks being shut down. So you're really getting a watered down, very tightly controlled version of the Christian faith when you go to one of these state-approved churches.
Can you give an example? Can you give an example of somebody? Okay, the other route would be the underground church type of thing, which would be, you know, that kind of thing, correct? Is that what you mean?
But, exactly.
Okay, can you give an example, though, of, let's say, a Bible passage or something like that that the Chinese would frown on and say, no, you're not allowed to preach that. And then we're going to move on to Korea.
Well, more than that, the Chinese government has taken this initiative to retranslate and annotate the entire Bible, and their goal is to find similarities with socialism. So we've seen them try to rewrite entire passages of the Bible. We've seen this in Chinese textbooks. And this is very dangerous because they'll rewrite a passage where maybe Jesus is featured in the passage. However, in the Chinese version, the Chinese Communist Party version of the passage, Jesus will say something totally different that has an entirely different meaning. And so you're getting a bizarre, warped version of the Bible in some of these communist-approved churches. So it's not so much that a passage will be banned. It's just that a passage will be rewritten to be void of its original meaning.
Interesting. Okay, FRC.org for more information. And I'm going to, by the way, I'll link to both of these publications in this post. The second publication that you've written or you've helped finalize here is North Korea. North Korea, the world's foremost violator of religious freedom, 2023 edition. The synopsis notes, shrouded in secrecy, North Korea remains one of the world's most mysterious countries. So comment on that, if you would, please. This is Ariel Del Turco.
I really view North Korea as the single hardest place in the world to be a Christian. Christianity is completely outlawed there. If you're caught with the Bible, we have evidence that has earned people a death penalty. Maybe they're not even a Christian. Maybe they just have this Bible in their house from their grandparents. That alone is worth a death sentence. So to follow Christ, you are really taking your life in your own hands in North Korea. So I really view that as the most dangerous place in the world to be a Christian. And these people need to not be forgotten. I think that's very important.
Are there any Christians in North Korea that you know of?
Yes. So I actually traveled to South Korea recently, met with many North Korean defectors, and there are missionaries that are along the border of North Korea in China, along the Chinese-North Korean border, and they know of people in China that are believers. However, it's a very isolating experience because as a believer in North Korea, you can't trust anyone. They really don't don't trust their neighbors. There's just this culture of snitching to the government on anyone of faith, anyone doing anything that the regime disapproves of, the North Korean regime. So it's a very, really terrifying experience to be a Christian in North Korea. But we also know there are Christians there because many North Korean defectors end up in China, whether they're looking for food, they're just trying to escape, and they'll encounter Christians that help them. They'll encounter Christian ministries and churches and learn about Jesus. And sometimes they're caught by Chinese authorities and they're forcibly repatriated and handed over to North Korean authorities. And we've even seen where the Chinese authorities will interview these North Korean defectors before they hand them over to North Korean agents, and they'll tell the North Korean agents if they found out in their interviews that these defectors encountered Christianity. So we've even seen evidence that the Chinese government is completely complicit in selling out these North Korean defectors, in tattling on them, telling North Korean agents that these people have encountered Christianity. And for them, it means either life in a prison camp, in a very harsh prison camp, or it means death.
Wow, that's amazing. You know, it's interesting, too, when you contrast South Korea and North Korea, you have a textbook case of the difference between communism and capitalism. You have a textbook case between the difference between Christianity and full-blown atheism. You have a textbook case, you know, between these. And of course, you know, South Korea, being the more Christian-oriented, is so much more free. And if you've ever seen a satellite picture of the Korean Peninsula during the night, you can see that South Korea is lit up like a Christmas tree, you know, lights everywhere. And then with North Korea, only the capital is lit. It seems like in North Korea, only the royal family or whatever they're called, you know, the dictator and his family are the ones that are having things good. But everybody else, life stinks for them.
Yeah, and it's very sad to hear because North Korea, that region, that territory, it actually used to be a hub for Christianity in Asia. Pyongyang, the current capital of North Korea, it used to be called the Jerusalem of the East at one point just because there were so many believers there. However, it's totally different now. It's dark, literally, as you mentioned, even with the satellites, with their access to electricity being so scarce. But it's also dark spiritually, so these people really need our prayers.
Wow. What else do you want to say that you haven't brought out in terms of in North Korea? I take it there's no legal churches. Are there any embassies? And if there are embassies, foreign embassies, could people participate in a Christian worship service even in that place, in North Korean territory?
Yeah, different countries approach this differently. The United States has very little interaction with North Korea, especially since within the past decade or so, there was an American citizen that was basically died after being in custody in North Korea because he was accused of tearing down some posters of Kim Jong-un. So it's such a different world over there. You have to think of it as in the height of communism, which sadly it still is there, to the detriment of their people. I don't know about the embassies. I wouldn't assume that North Korean.
Okay, let me reword the question this way. Is there any place in North Korea where people can worship Jesus Christ legally? I mean, in other words, even you know, in one particular office of an embassy or something like that.
I would say no. I would say no. The North Koreans are very controlling. They really want to stamp out any imprint of Christianity anywhere. They've been very clear about that, and sadly, they've been very successful of that.
Okay, so we have time to give you a closing thought on both China and North Korea. FRC.org for more information. Ariel Del Turco, go ahead. Closing thought in 10 seconds, please.
Yeah, I would just encourage us to, as we recall these countries, to be praying for Christians there, for their freedom, for the absence of persecution, but also so that they are able to endure through persecution.
All right, Ariel, thank you so much for being with us. All the best.
Thank you.